start to actually want to be salt and light. I mean, the enemy is petrified of such things. So then the counter assaults happen immediately, and they have been. But that's to be expected, and it's exciting. So what do? This is not anything but a spiritual battle. We can't live life on mission in our own strength. We need the Lord, so we got to pray. We got to pray. Oh, yeah. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. Oh, Lord, be my light and be my salvation. Because all I want is to be in the light. Yeah. All I want is to be in the light.
Good day to you and welcome to Live in the Light. You have joined us now in the middle of a series we are calling Saved to Sent, all about how we as followers of Jesus have been saved with a mission. We are to go out and share the gospel. There's no free passes here. Everyone saved in Jesus has a job to do. And if you aren't sure today what your job is, you have tuned in at a perfect time. Today, we're getting into the lessons from the early church and how they equipped people to go out sent by the Holy Spirit. Hey, we know this series has a lot of practical steps, and we would love to hear what you're learning. Live in the Light's mission is to see lives transformed by the revelation of God's truth. And if that's you, we want to hear from you. You can drop us a note at liveinthelight.ca or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. Again, today's message is all about the early church and how they were actively seeking the Lord. There is so much for us here, so let's get into it now. Open your Bible with me to Acts chapter 13, and we'll get started together.
How encouraging that will be as we pray. Because listen, life on mission is impossible apart from prayer. So that's why this Wednesday, I mean, right now is a big deal. Wednesday is a really big deal. As we pray and ask the Lord to do what only He can as a church, to transform lives. So it's here, their lives were centered on the Lord and they became sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And notice it's here in this moment. Now the text tells us, and the Holy Spirit said, isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit, what are we learning here? The Holy Spirit spoke. The Holy Spirit is a person. I know most of you know that, but I got to make sure there's a lot of new people in our church, a lot of new people to the Christian faith. Some are searching. The Holy Spirit, this isn't Star Wars and the Force, okay? This isn't May the Force Be With You. The Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit, again, is a person. We approach Him as a person. We love Him as a person. We worship Him, again, as the third person of the Trinity. He speaks, right? He says, set apart for me, He says, for the work that I have called them to. That is awesome. We don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We love the Holy Spirit. Invite the person of the Holy Spirit again to fill our lives once again. So again, they're centered on the Lord. They are sensitive to the Spirit. The lesson we are learning here, ready? You want to live life on mission? Dependence on the Lord, devotion to the Lord precedes deployment from the Lord. Dependence on the Lord, devotion to the Lord precedes deployment by the Lord within our lives. The early church is a wonderful, wonderful example of this. And no wonder the Holy Spirit moved so powerfully within their midst. Lesson number two. They were set apart and they surrendered. Early church shows us they were set apart and they surrendered. Look at verse 2. So the Holy Spirit says, set apart for me, circle that, it's great, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I, circle, have called, underlined them. Then, after fasting and praying, the early church resisted the will of God. No. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So what an amazing moment this is. Now, presumably the Holy Spirit, well, we not most likely not an audible voice of the Spirit of God, but most likely the Spirit of God spoke through one of the prophets that were there. So often through scripture, this is what we see. And again, let's get a little bit of the big picture right now of what we're looking at as we briefly mentioned earlier. The moment here is massive. Right here in Acts 13, this is the beginning of overseas missions. I mean, what a major turning point in the history of the world and the history of the church. This isn't the church being sent out and forced out because of persecution. This is the church specifically being directly sent by the Holy Spirit. So loved ones, you and I should love verse 2. We should treasure verse 2 because this is the initiation of the gospel, again, going to the nations, okay? So I love this right now. We are looking at verses 2 and 3, and I love to say, well, what are we learning about our God here? We are learning that our God is a God on mission. Look at what our God does here. He initiates. Notice his intentionality and notice his intimacy again with the people of God. He's right in the midst of them. He initiates this moment. He's so intentional with what's happening and he's intimate with them and speaks to them and sends out again, Paul and Barnabas for this world changing mission. Again, notice the heart of the Spirit of God set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Look at the heart of our God. Our God is outward facing. Our God saves these individuals. He blesses these individuals. And then he sends these individuals that they might be a blessing to others. Again, just take a moment right now, church. Like, just take a moment. The Holy Spirit has set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Like this is the beginning of overseas missions. If God doesn't have this heart, we have no chance. If God doesn't have the heart to send, to bless, and others will be blessed through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we don't get saved. If God wants you to contain it right then and there, and nothing else happens, then we have no chance. Like just take a moment with me and just thank the Lord, worship the Lord, that he is a God on mission, that our God is a sending God. God, thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross, be raised from the dead. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to your church. Because Lord, if you did not do that, then I would have no chance. Can you take a moment right now to thank, worship, and bless the Lord that he is a sending God and a God on mission, and he continues to be that way today, of course. So what happens is, a lot of time what happens is, we read verses 2 and 3, and Barnabas and Saul, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. And we see that, yeah, Barnabas and Saul, life on mission, world changers. And we're like, yeah, go get them, Barnabas and Saul. We'll pray for you. We'll be here, man. Throw you a couple bucks, but good luck. Let us know how it goes, right? As if we believe in luck, by the way, right? Right? And people say good luck to me. I'm like, well, that's bad theology, right? Right? I mean, we don't believe in that. But again, Barnabas and Saul go out, many of us all the time. We're like, yeah, go get them. And let us know how it goes, right? And now I get it, formal missionaries, awesome, we're so blessed by that. But again, what happens sometimes is, yeah, you do your thing, and I'll sit here and do nothing. No. Every single one of us who's in Christ has been set apart in some form, in some way, for the purposes of Jesus Christ. This is what we must understand. Every one of us must understand who is saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're like, well, I'm not set apart like Barnabas and Saul. Well, yes and no. You say, well, how am I set apart? Well, let's put this slide up on the screen here for a second, okay? This is what every single genuine Christ follower has been set apart with. This is a small list, but it's a beautiful one. In Christ, if you've been saved in Christ, you've been set apart with a story to tell. Every one of us in Christ has a story to tell. Listen, we've been sent with that story. Again, this is the scripture reference of the man that was possessed by a demon, set free, and Jesus sends him, and he goes and he tells a story. Loved ones, all of us have been set apart when we are saved in Christ, if we're saved in Jesus Christ, with a story to tell. We've been set apart with a spiritual gift to use. Hey, listen, this is just good theology. Every single person saved in Jesus Christ has been given at least one spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit. Every single person saved, and a lot of us have more than one spiritual gift. We receive that spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit to do what? Nothing? No, we receive the spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit given by God to use and to steward for him. It's so interesting, eh? No one who's a genuine Christ follower has the option of not stewarding the spiritual gift they've been given. Imagine at the end, and God's like, so I gave you a spiritual gift, what'd you do? You're like, nothing. That's a bad day, right? Like, that's not gonna be good. That's not gonna be good at all. So every single one of us alive in Jesus Christ, we have a stewardship of a spiritual gift. Are you using your spiritual gift for the blessing and for the edification of the body and to use that as the advancement of the gospel? We have the stewardship of time. We've been set apart. This is a big one here, eh? This is a big one right here. Time, a stewardship of our lives. Parable of the minas. We've been entrusted with investing what God has given to us, a stewardship to multiply what God, time, treasure, talents could be included in that. We have a stewardship of time. How many waste time? Like, this is what our world does. We have time, but it's not used for the things. It's so interesting. So what the Life on Mission does, it says, I'm going to take my time and I'm going to put eternity with how I spend my time. I'm going to coach a sport and bring eternity into it. I'm going to do a hobby, bring the gospel into it. I'm going to be at work and try to seek to be used of Christ into it. I'm going to be in my neighbor and hang with friends. I'm going to bring the light of Jesus and salt into that. See, a stewardship of time, you can do what you're doing for the most part, unless it's sinful, awful behavior. Do what you're doing, bring Christ into that, a stewardship of our time. Families, friends, we've been set apart with this stewardship, set apart with a Savior that has sent you, Matthew 28, Great Commission. Jesus Christ says, go and make disciples of all nations. So every believer in Jesus Christ has been set apart again by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, I've shared this with our staff and with our members last week, but I don't think I've shared it in a sermon yet. Tim Keller, wonderful man of God, pastor, author, writer, thinker, passed away 2 years ago. Great loss. Very passionate with Life on Mission. He said this, and it's not like it's a scientific, statistically proven stat, but he did say this, and I'm pretty captured by it. He says, when a congregation, a church body, is seeking to live life on mission, if they can get to 20 to 25% of the people who are authentically living this out in some form, that becomes a tipping point where the entire momentum of the congregation begins to move towards an authentic pursuit of life on mission. If 20 to 25% of us take this seriously and start living it out, then it almost becomes a healthy peer pressure on everyone else to get in line, or at least to feel like, you know, that something's missing within them. Where's our church at right now? It's really hard to say. It's not zero. I don't think it's 25%. But what a wonderful thing to pray for, okay? So what would happen is, if we get to 20 to 25% of us that we're living life on mission and we're kind of like showing this, then someone will walk into our church and they're picking up the kind of spiritual vibes. And if they're not living a life on mission, they'll be like noticing that they're not. And they will feel a kind of peer pressure to be like, okay, there's all these things happening and I'm not. And then they'll hopefully in a wonderful way be like, do I need to move towards something? And the answer is yes. 20 to 25%. Again, what a great prayer. Join me in that prayer. Hey, another thing along that line too is encourage our staff, encourage our members. Last week, do this too. I'd love you to share your stories of how God is leading you to live life on mission. Do it humbly, but do it. Share your stories, right? I try to be intentional about that, right? I just want to encourage. And I love to share other people's stories of how they're living life on mission as well. Like, do that right now. Like, maybe it's today, maybe it's this week. But as you go along, like, just in your groups or wherever you are, talking to people in the church, or you can just say, hey, any opportunities this week? Any opportunities? I was just seeing someone kind of leave from the first service, and he just mentioned to me, man, this past week, huge opportunity there was. God was moving, so excited. I'm like, that's awesome, man, that's great. That encourages me, builds my faith, vice versa, blah, blah, blah. Share your stories. Let's get the percentage and the expectation of what God is doing too, right? Listen, it won't be easy. Be great. It'll be hard. I pray it'll be great. It'll come at a cost. I pray it'll be great. It's not for the faint of heart. It'll come with faith. Lord, lead us in that. Lead us in that.
Hey, listeners. We'll get back to Robbie's message in just a moment, but we wanted to pause for a second to ask, did you know that you can catch up with past messages from Living the Light on our website? Previously aired series are archived there and available to listen to at any time. You can also tune in anytime wherever you get your podcasts. So on that, happy listening. Now, let's get back to today's message.
So they were set apart, but now notice they were surrendered to God's leading and God's will, right? Verse 3, it says this, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So notice this, Barnabas and Saul are sent by the Holy Spirit. So what happened? Good insight here, ready? The church... ascending church is asked so often to sacrifice their best. That's what's happening here. Barnabas and Paul. The church is asked to sacrifice their best. And this is one of the great challenges of being a sending church. Often those who are sent are your best. I remember our first church plant back then, Harvest Brampton, now Hope, Mississauga, 2009. And so our church started in 2004, 5 years later, planting a church, and the rumblings of this building started as well. And we had a group from Brampton driving down, I don't know, 70, 80, 100 people. And it's like a great idea, great idea. And then I remember the first Sunday after they were sent, kind of like today when Hope Hamilton started, the first Sunday, so our 11:15 service back in the old building. And from the day we started, that service was just absolutely packed and jammed, like every single time, every single time. And I remember standing up at 11:15 service preaching. I guess that was for the third time then. And we used to have Saturday night service. Anyways, and then so third time then, I remember looking out for the first time in my memory of this church, the place was like half full. And I'm like, oh, what have we done? What have we done? What have we done? What have we done? It's like, it's interesting. You are filled with a selfish fear at that point of like, we just gave away our best. What's going to happen? And the Lord, but it's amazing. That's the cost and the joy of sending. You often send your best. It's amazing how the Lord and his faithfulness. So we've now planted 9 churches. And by the 9th time last weekend, you're filled with a little more faith, but you're laying hands on Greg and Elena and all the people from Hope Hamilton. And you're like, we're sending our best. And amen. You want to clap for that? And clap for that. Amen. Amen. I had a text, one of our elders this morning, he sent a text to the elders, and this is Lucian and Lucian Davina. They are going to be part of the Hamilton church plant. And trust me, Lucians are hard to find, man. Davinas are hard to find. And I love that man so much. And he texted us and he's like, I'm praying for you guys here. We're starting, we're praying Hope Hamilton and whatever. And I just texted back. I said, the words of Paul are very dear to me. And Paul said, sorrowful yet rejoicing. And that's the odd combination, isn't it? That's what came to mind. Sorrowful. I just love them, miss them, rejoicing. If we're going to be a sending church, it will mean the sacrifice of our best at times. And that's just the way it goes. But this is part of the reality of serving Christ. It's not about us. It's about those, again, who do not know Christ. Here's a good quote. So the source of this is hard to track down exactly. When the gospel arrived to you, it's on its way to someone else. Isn't that good? I love that. I think Robbie Gallaty apparently had that in his book. I think there's another guy who's... Anyways, when the gospel arrived to you, it was on its way to someone else. It's a good word. Let me ask you, hey, who's your someone else right now? Like for real. Who's your someone else? Hey, the answer can't be no one. I mean, it can be. It's just the wrong answer. Hey, loving, seriously though, who's your 5 people you're praying for? Who's your 5 people? Lord, help me, remind me to pray for them. And my list is greater than 5. It's amazing how the names start adding up. Lord, save. When the gospel arrived to you, and isn't it so amazing how the gospel arrived to us through someone else? We are now the channel. We are now the vehicle for that. We are now the branches. Again, loved ones, I know the percentage of us that are sharing our faith on a regular basis is very low, but Lord, faith and grace and boldness and the gospel tracts that we had yesterday or last week, like they were all gone, praise God. So you took like 1,000 of them, and I think there's a few thousand more. So they should be available at the connections desk. So you can take as many as you want and use them, and to know the gospel yourself and to be used in that way, that is so powerful and that is so awesome as well. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Again. Say this too kind of quickly and maybe specifically more in this next week. Some of you right now, the Lord is specifically asking you in a very specific direction and maybe a very specific calling. Are you fighting the calling of God? Are you resisting the leading of the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to trust that the Lord knows and that the Lord has spoken to you and spoken to you through others? Are you willing to surrender your will to embrace the will of God for your life? I wonder if there's people listening right now that God is leading you towards full-time ministry and you're scared. Trust me, I know. I was terrified as a 23, 24-year-old. I tried to run the other direction. Eventually, I gave up. Is that you? Is that you right now? They were set apart, and they didn't fight. They surrendered. They prayed and fasted. You better believe it meant a lot to them. But in the end, they said, Lord, your will be done. They sent. It must have been a hard moment, eh? It must have been a beautiful moment, but it must have been a hard moment. Lesson number three is this. They were sent out for specific service. Specific service. Look at verse four now. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, that is such a beautiful phrase. Underline, highlight, do something with that right there. I have two asterisks beside each part of that in red pen. Awesome. They went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, sent out by the Holy Spirit. Hey, loved ones, look up here, look up here, look up here. Ready? You are loved and sent. Both. You are loved, yes, in Jesus' name, and you are sent. You are sent by the Holy Spirit. Absolutely 100% sent. What do we learn about this phrase? I'm going to wrap up with this right here. What do we learn about this phrase, being sent out by the Holy Spirit? We learn many things on the screen behind me and beside me. I want you to notice this. I love this phrase so much. Number one, we learn that our God is a God on mission. Right? Be sent out by the Holy Spirit. Notice, church in Antioch, God is evidently not interested in a perpetual holy huddle, right? Right? Now, they were gathering, they were worshiping, but in the midst of that, God's like, okay, good, here we go. Now you're sent, right? Gathering strength, focusing on the Lord, and then God's not interested in just gathering together and simply continuously encouraging each other, which is important, but it has to be more than that. We have to be sent because God's heart is to save souls, right? Why does the Holy Spirit send? Because he's expanding the kingdom. He's saving people from death, sin, and hell. He's using his church to do it. That's the heart of our God. He's a God on mission. Secondly, our God is always working with or without us. This is what we also learn. Think of this. How many people or churches are passed over by God because they're not available for God? That's worth pondering. But when you're centered on the Lord, surrendered to the Lord, sensitive to the Spirit of God, he's like, okay, there's a group of people that I can work in. You see, so when we position ourselves, what we're doing is we're setting our sails, like on a sailboat, we're setting our sails that the wind of the Holy Spirit can fill the sails and guide us according to his will. Make time for the Lord. We're loving him. We're setting our sails and the sail is set and the wind of the Holy Spirit blows and guides us along the path that he decides. That's what the early church was doing, man. They set their sails for the Holy Spirit to fill. Three, our God is looking for people he can use. Evidently, from Acts 13, he is looking for people that he can use. I love 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the whole earth to strongly support those whose hearts are blameless towards him. Isn't that amazing? Like the eyes of God are searching this room right now, searching overflow. Stay awake, overflow. Right? They are searching here, Orangeville, searching. The eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro. Who can I use? Who can I use? Isaiah says, here am I, Lord, send me, use me. The eyes of the Lord search this room right now, every row, every seat. Can I use you? Are you available? Are you awake? Are you caught up in the world? Are you hungering for the Lord? Do you desire my will? Do you want to be set apart? Are you willing to live at a cost? He's searching. I think one critical question that I need to ask and you need to ask too is this. When it comes to all we're talking about today, do I want comfort in my life more than God's calling in my life? I think that's a very critical question for Western society and Western believers. Do I want comfort more than I want God's calling upon my life? And again, hey, loved ones, I think we need to answer honestly, right? Like this is when we need to say, you know what? I do want comfort more because I've proven it with the last 5 years of my life. And then we say, forgive me, Lord. I repent of that sin. And I believe your calling will bring greater blessing and joy in my life with cost than I could ever imagine otherwise. This is going to separate again from the men from the boys, the girls from the women. Fourthly, our God, we learn from this phrase, our God is sovereign over locations and movements, right? What's happening? Well, God is sovereignly building his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it, right? Hey, so Let's be very mindful. We're in this series, Life on Mission. Have you noticed? And like, so if you want to talk about an offensive against the gates of hell, this series is it. Like, as much as I remember in our church's history, a direction and a catalyst for kingdom living, each of us individually, collectively, if we start to actually want to be salt and light, I mean, the enemy is petrified of such things. So then the counter assaults happen immediately, and they have been, and they have been. But that's to be expected, and it's exciting. So what do we do? Like, we're like, this is not anything but a spiritual battle. Massive, right now, in our midst, right today, right now. I feel it. I wonder if you feel it. No, many of us do feel it. And of course, that makes total sense. So what do? Well, we can't live life on mission in our own strength. We need the Lord. So we got to pray. Prayer is massive. Have you heard we have a prayer meeting this Wednesday at 7 p.m.? Did you hear that? Oh, good. God, I just want to make sure that you do you know that, I don't think I said this in this service. We have, I think, four church planners coming with the GCC from the States. They're coming up for a day and a half prayer module that we're teaching here. And they're going to be joining us for the prayer meeting. It's kind of climaxing with the prayer meeting. They can see and learn and be inspired by a church, again, that gathers to pray. Pastor Jason Matt is going to be with us too. He's going to lead part of that prayer meeting. He's our church planner from Toronto West. Maybe a few people from T-West will be here as well this Wednesday, man. It's a very big deal spiritually, because we can't do this without the Lord. We gather to say, Lord, we need you. We gather to sing, Lord, we need you. We gather to say, Lord, unless you do it, it's not going to happen. And so that's why, again, prayer is such a big deal. And that's why it's happening this week. And I just pray that hundreds and hundreds of you will believe in the importance of prayer. Our last question, and just we're done with this, is our God is sending. And the question is, are we going? There's no question that our God is sending. Obviously, he is. That's everything we've heard for 3 weeks now in a row. The question is, are we going? Are we going? He's sending all of us in one way or another. Are we going? And imagine we all went. Imagine we all said, Lord, I'm going in one way or another, bit by bit, day by day. Wow, 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 wow. How exciting that will be. Let's pray. Father, we have to pray. We have to pray, because it's only you who will cause this to happen. Lord, I pray for faith to rise today. I know many of my brothers and sisters today, we need faith, Lord. We need faith. We've been afraid. We've been lazy. We've been intimidated by culture. I think it's important to say it loud too, loved ones, so often we just don't care enough. We're like, well, I'm saved, and if others aren't, so what? Like that, I mean, that there we have to say, oh Lord, forgive my wicked heart. Forgive my heart that I need to feel and hurt more. Love for the lost, a love for the world around me that's caught in blindness and sin. So I do pray that by your Spirit, you will give us faith. I pray for a Spirit-given love and boldness, though, to live for you. I pray for opportunities, maybe even today, tomorrow, this week. We pray for opportunities. A door will open, loved ones, and the Lord will give us that door. And then at that moment, what will we do? A conversation, an opportunity, a circumstance. Will we choose to help the poor in that moment? Will we choose to love, have compassion on the weak? Will we choose to share Christ? Will we choose to say, yes, I am a Christ follower? Will we choose to point in the direction of righteousness as opposed to worldliness? That is what we ask for. And I pray you will help us, Lord. Help us to say yes. Yes to you, to following Jesus. We pray this together as your church here at Hope Oakville. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.